2 Kings chapter 4. You know, the phrase when it comes to Mother's Day, is there a phrase that comes to your mind, anybody? The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, right? Is the hand that rules the world. And it just goes to show, you know, a long-standing old saying, but it really does reflect the influence that a mother can have in her child's life. And, you know, as we hear the testimony of a mom who couldn't or wouldn't raise her son, and then somebody else that picked up where that one left off, and so we need these different influences, like Sister Claretta said, through our lives, different people step in and become a motherly role model for us, and we need that. And we go to 2 Kings chapter 4, and I know if you look on your, if you take notes, you're going to see we already covered the first part of this chapter. We're not going to repeat that. We're going to pick up in verse 8. But it says, it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where there was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread, and so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat bread. So we're introduced to this woman here, and we're going to talk about some characters of moms, or of good moms, let's say. And the first thing we notice about this woman in verse 8 is she was a great woman. Now, a great woman can mean many different things. In fact, sometimes when we think about her being a great woman, we think that means she was a big lady, right? But that's not what it means. But what it does mean is that she was influential. So she had influence. Also, that she was wealthy. She had means. So this lady has the opportunity, as being wealthy and being influential, to make an impact on other people's lives. And she noticed something. She noticed that this guy was coming by, and it says that she constrained him to eat bread. How many of you have ever been constrained to eat? Anybody? I mean, I know if you got a grandma, she said, now come on, baby, you got to eat something, right? And so she constrained him. What would be a better term or a more familiar way of saying she constrained him?
Kept him.
She kept him? How about she, what's it? She passionately invited him. How's that? Sit down and eat, right? But like, you know, mom or grandma say, oh, come on, baby, you got to eat something. You got to eat. And so that's what she did. She encouraged him. She constrained him to eat bread. She noticed that he was coming by, and she was friendly. She said, come on in and eat. Well, guess what? Just like many Baptist preachers, once he got one invitation, every time he come by there, he stopped to eat, right? And so every time he would come by, he would stop and eat. That's Elisha, the prophet. So she was hospitable, let's say. That'll be our first thing. She was hospitable. A good mom is hospitable. She wants to take care. She wants to include. She wants to invite. Okay, that's the first quality we see there. Verse 9, she said to her husband, that's another good quality of mom, right? She puts her husband to work. She finds projects. Right? As soon as he sits down, takes his shoes off, hey, baby, can you come look at this? Right? I got something for you to do, right? Verse 9, she said to her husband, behold, now I perceive this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. So the second quality we're going to see about her is that she is perceptive. She pays attention. And this guy came by. In fact, it says that he came by as often as he did, he stopped there to eat. So she's not only hospitable, but she's consistent, right? Every time he came by, she had him in to eat. And then third, we see that she's perceptive. She sees him and she picks up on the fact this is not just any ordinary man. This is a man that's got the power of God in his life. And so she recognizes that. She can see that spiritual quality. So she says to her husband, this guy is a holy man of God. Verse 10, let's make him a little chamber. On the wall, let us set for him there a bed, a table, a stool, a candlestick, and it shall be when he comes to us that he shall turn in there. So let's make him a prophet's chamber. You'll notice this is the scripture we have on our prophet's chamber, so everybody understands that's what it's there for, is to give relief to those men of God that are traveling through. And so they built him a little room, a prophet's chamber. So not only is she paying attention. Not only is she consistent, not only is she hospitable, but she's generous, right? She used her own funds, her family's money, to build a little room for this man. So she's generous. A good mom is generous. She's kind. She's hospitable. She's consistent. She's perceptive. Verse number 11, it fell on a day that he came there. He turned into the chamber, and he lay there, and he had an idea. So he says to his servant Gehazi, call this Shunammite. And when he called her, she stood before him. Verse 13, he said unto Gehazi, say now to her, behold, thou hast been careful for us. Look at that. Another good quality for mom, right? Careful. Careful for us with all this care. Very caring. Attentive. What is to be done for thee? Elisha says, what can I do to pay you back? Would thou be spoken for to the king? Not only is she a woman of influence, let's not forget Elisha had influence too, didn't he? He had reach. Or to the captain of the host. And she answered, I dwell among my own people. She's humble. I don't need anything. I didn't do this for you so you would do something for me. I was just being hospitable. I was just being kind. You know, a mom is able to give to her children without and knowing that they'll not be able to do anything in return. Especially, you know, in their early years. We feed them, we bathe them, we clothe them, changing diapers and wiping noses and all that stuff through the years. And then we do it because we love them and we take care of them, even knowing that maybe they'll never be able to repay our kindness. But that's the quality of a mom. And so she says, I dwell among my own people. So Elisha turns his attention from talking to her, and he asked the servant, what then is to be done for her? Gehazi answered, verily, she has no child, and her husband is old. Well, I'm glad that Elisha didn't say, well, she got an old husband, let's get her a new one. That's not where he went with that, right? He said, well, let's pray that she'll have a child. And, you know, someone called me this morning and said, Brother Derek, I know it's Mother's Day, and I know you're going to recognize moms, but, you know, there are lots of women out there that they don't have any children except that one they married. And so be sure you praise not just the moms, but the wives. So happy Wives Day too, all right? There you go. Isn't that true, Mike? That's the biggest child they've ever had. That's right. Okay, so he says, well, she doesn't have any children. So in verse number 15, Elisha says, call her. And when he called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, in other words, you know, it takes 9-10 months to have a baby. And so, according to the season, according to the time, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie to me. She said, that's impossible. There's no way. Right? It's an incredible idea, but it's just something I've never really thought of. So we talk about this woman here, and she's got all these great qualities that would make a good role model, but she doesn't have anyone as far as a son that she can share or pour it into, if we say it that way. And so, verse number 17, what happened? She's going to have a baby. That's what happened. And so we see this quality in this woman now. She's going to get a son. She's going to have that baby. And so we see that she knows one thing that she cannot deny is that her child is going to be a gift from God. We talked about this the other night, didn't we? About being thankful, about what we prayed for. How many of us, when we prayed this week, and then when God answered those prayers, how many of us looked back and said, God, you've answered my prayer. Thank you. And instead of asking God for something and then criticizing the way it was delivered, right? So we got to thank God for what he's given us. Well, she can't deny this child is a gift from God. You know, the Bible says that children are what? A heritage of the Lord. Children are a heritage of the Lord. So thank God for our children. God is good to us and he gives us children. But then it's our responsibility to develop them, to mold them, to to raise them up to be good citizens and good Christians. Well, something happened, though. What happened? That boy got to be older, and he was out with Dad working in the field one day. The Bible says he grabbed his head. He said, "Oh, my head, my head." And so her husband said, one of the servants, "Take this boy to his mama." Right? Take him to his mama. That's where he needs to be. Why? Because mama's so tender and loving. And that's what moms, we look at the qualities of moms and we see someone who's tender, someone who's loving. Again, that you don't have to be a mom to have these qualities. But these are qualities of a good mother. So she takes him, look at what it says in verse number 20. She took him and she he sat on her knees till noon. Just laid his head in her lap. And she just probably, it doesn't say this, but don't you know she just rubbed his head like a nurse, like a mom does, didn't she? Just rubbed his head and probably sung a song or prayed for him, you know. Just loved her son, caring, gentle, tender, again, qualities of mom. And then what happens at the end of that verse? It says he died. I know there are a lot of heartaches of people, but to me, this has got to be the greatest heartache of all, is to lose your child. And so she experienced heartache, heartbrokenness. But it says this in verse number 21, she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. She laid him on Elisha's bed in that lean-to, in that prophet's chamber. And she shut the door and went out, called to her husband, verse 22, and says, "Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the animals that I may run to the man of God and come again." So she got one of the servants to go with her and got on that animal. So not only was she heartbroken, but she was what? She was hopeful. She didn't give up so easily. Listen, especially today, moms have to have tenacity. Moms have to stay, they have to have patience and stick with it, because you're going to be tested and you're going to be tried. They're going to try your patience and try your will and really put you to the test. And so she got on there, and look at what it says in verse 24. She told that servant, "You drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee." She said, "I don't care how rough it is. You don't slow down unless I tell you to." She wanted to get to that preacher, and she needed God's help to intervene. Her son is already dead, but she needs God to intervene. So she's going to go ask the man of God to do something for her son. Well, she's riding, and they're riding fast, and she's willing to suffer herself for the sake of her child. That's a good quality of motherhood. By the way, not enough moms willing to do that today. Moms and dads are so selfish. The Bible says that people will become more and more self-centered and more selfish as the closer we get to the end of this. But it's always a good quality of a mom and a dad when we can see that selflessness. She said, "You ride. Don't worry about me. Lest I tell you to slow down. You just go as hard as you can." And so they got there. Well, Gehazi's looking out. What does he see? He sees her coming. He recognizes her. He says to the preacher, "Hey, that's that Shunammite woman. She's coming." And Elisha says, "Well, I wonder what's wrong. Why don't you go out there and see what's wrong?" We skipped over something. I want you to go back and look at verse number 23 at the last part. Her husband said, it's not a holiday. Why do you need to go see the preacher?" And she said, look at this, "It shall be well." She was hopeful, wasn't she? She had faith. "It shall be well." All right, we got some damage, but it shall be well. The doctor said it's a bad diagnosis. It shall be well. There's some heartache in my family, some problems that have happened in my family. It shall be well. You know, there's something at my job, but it shall be well. Something in my finances, it shall be well. Why? Because God's got me. Because I put my faith in God. That's where we have to be. That's where she was. That's a good quality of mom. Well, here comes Gehazi. He rides out there. He meets them as they're going. And he says, "Is everything okay?" What does she say? Verse 26, "It is well." And my grandfather told me, and I know I've told y'all this before, My grandfather and I, we were best of friends. And I spent a lot of afternoons. I'd get out of college, I'd go to his house, and we'd shoot pool. I'd get off work, I'd go to his house, we'd shoot pool. Many hours there at his house, just spending time together. Great influence in my life. But you know, he said something to me. He said, "Derek, when people ask you how you're doing, just tell them you're doing fine." He said, "Don't give them all the details of how bad, you know, how bad it is and what's wrong. Just tell them everything's fine." Now, he wasn't teaching me to lie. He was teaching me to be discerning about what I share. He was teaching me to be hopeful, optimistic, positive, all those good qualities that we look for. And so what did this woman say? Her son's laying on the prophet's bed back at the house. He died. He's dead. And she says to her husband, "It shall be well." She gets to the servant, "It is well." She's got faith. She's trusting God. Now listen to me. I know that there may be some who read this and they say, "Yeah, but you know, I prayed and I had faith and I had hope, but it's not well. My loved one's gone." And I know that's the heartache of life. God doesn't always give us our health. He doesn't always give us our life. But for those who know Jesus, you know what? They're not hurting anymore. They're not sick anymore. They're with the Lord. We've lost some dear, wonderful people. And I'm glad I have the faith and the confidence in their faith that they are with the Lord and I will see them again one day. And if God gives me a chance, we'll have church up there, all right? All get together and have church. So she says, "It is well." And then she got to the preacher and she says, "I didn't ask for a son. You gave me a son and now there's a problem." And so Elisha tells the servant, "Say, you ride on ahead and we're going to come together." And Elisha said that he went with her and they got to the house. And what happened? Elisha went in there and he prayed and he actually snuggled up, laid on that boy, give him mouth to mouth. And the boy woke up and it was all well. Now look. That's a miracle. It doesn't happen all the time. If it happened all the time, it'd be natural. But this doesn't happen all the time. It was a miracle. And God did that through Elisha for this woman who was good to the prophet. And we look at her qualities and we see that she was hospitable. She was influential. She was consistent. She was perceptive. She was generous. She had faith, she was tender and loving, and even in her heartbrokenness, in her heartache, she was hopeful. And that's how we should be. We've got to have faith. We've got to keep hope. We see that in her, and we need to see it in us. You know, I thought about Mother's Day, and in preparation, I thought, like Brother Stegg alluded to, I want to meet some moms when I get to heaven. Right? Some of you shared about your moms that are already there, and I would like to meet them and say, "Hey, thank you for bringing this beautiful, wonderful person in the world." I thought about Moses' mom. We see a little bit of her story, but I want to meet her when I get to heaven because it takes a certain quality of woman to raise a man like Moses, doesn't it? Or Elisha, or Elijah. You know, I even thought about the mother of James and John, right? It takes a certain quality of person to have influence in somebody's life so they'll turn out the way those people did. And the same thing with you. You know, we could be proud of our mothers for what they've invested in our lives. And they taught us well. They taught us while we were young. And they're still having great influence in our lives today. But most of all, thank God for a mom who will give us the opportunity to know God. The mom that will bring their children to church and introduce them to Jesus. That will introduce them to Jesus in the home, yes. And bring them to God's house so they can develop in their faith. And I hope that you have that. I hope that you have someone in your life that is giving you that influence, that Christian influence, so that you can know God in a greater way. If you bow your head and close your eyes, I'll ask you this morning, if you have faith in God, if in your life you know right now that God is your God, that Jesus is your Savior, because you have asked His forgiveness. And if you haven't, right now you can. From your heart to God's heart, say, "God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know Jesus died for me. And I ask you to forgive my sins. Save my soul. God, I give my life to you. Have you put your confidence in God? Trusted Him as your Savior? If not, now is your chance. And if so, I pray that you will keep that faith and walk with God as you go forward in this life. Would you stand? You know, I thought about this. I thought about this young man that we read about. That he died and God gave him his life again. But you know what? The Bible doesn't tell us what kind of man he became, does it? It tells us about his mama. It tells us about the faith that it took for him to have his life back or to even be born. But I wonder what kind of person he became. You see, we can't control where we came from. We can't control who our parents are. The only thing in my control is what kind of person I become. And my prayer for you is that you will walk with God and become everything that God has placed in you, all that potential to become great in the eyes of God. Father, guide us through this day. Thank you for our moms. Thank you for those who have gathered. Give us safety as we go out now and help with the recovery. Give us grace. God, thank you not only for those who come to help, but thank you for the opportunity we have to help others. Dismiss us with your blessing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. No service tonight. We look for you Wednesday.